Before we get to tonight's Big Brother recap, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Beachbody On Demand. And I have somebody to help me talk about Beachbody On Demand, junior podcaster Dominic. Dominic, how are you?
Good.
Dominic, we're here to talk about exercise, the kind of exercise that Dad does. How does Dad do exercise?
Well, he works in the garage and in the house sometimes.
Yes, and I watch videos from Beachbody On Demand, the streaming total fitness system with over 700 workouts to choose from, Dominic.
All right.
Yeah, I do Core de Force, which is the MMA-inspired cardio workout where I punch and kick, which helps me in all sorts of different ways, right? I'm an expert puncher.
Yeah, you were doing karate today.
Yes.
On Beachbody On Demand.
That's right. Because I love it. It's so much easier than going to the gym because I have more time to spend with my wonderful family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Beachbody On Demand, it is accessible on any number of streaming devices that you have. And they've got a great offer for our listeners where you too can try out Beachbody On Demand right now. Absolutely free. Just text the word Rob, that's me, R-O-B, to 303030 to try out Beachbody On Demand. They've got the world-class trainers and the history of success. They have P90X Insanity, 21 Day Fixed, Brazil Butt Lift, Pio, Hip Hop Abs. Does it look cool when I do the workouts?
Yeah.
So what are you waiting for? Give it a try. They've got 1 million people already on Beachbody On Demand. Right now, you can get that offer. Try it for free when you text the word Rob to 303030. Get full access to the entire platform for free. All the workouts, nutritional information, and support totally free. Just text the word what?
Bruh.
Rob. Just text the word what?
Rob.
Right, to 303030 for your free trial of Beachbody On Demand. Thank you, Dominic. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who always sits next to Angie Rockstar at any of the reality pop quizzes. I am Rob Sesternino. Everybody, welcome back to Rob's Podcast. Wednesday night after a epic and memorable OTEV veto competition where we saw a real tragedy for Angie Rockstar, who was so close to coming down off the block. Instead, Tyler wins veto yet again as the bad news bears, a.k.a. Faute, continues to scuffle along here in Big Brother 20. We've got a great panel with us, of course, from the LFC. Welcome back to the show, Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. It was a very exciting OTEV. Maybe too exciting. It was up and down and the emotions were all over the place. But I feel like OTEV always brings that. We had first the harm, you know, that was very big. And then we had, you know, a lot of crazy victories. And this one was not quite a victory. It was more just really sad.
It was a sad night. Sad night. And I'm very excited to have with us here tonight one of the many people that have been updating everybody in the mornings with Taryn. Happy to have him here on the recap with us. Please welcome Puya. Puya, how are you?
Thanks, Rob. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes.
It's going to be a good one, man. I'm very excited to be here. And I'm really excited to talk about the episode because this was a good one to get. So let's do it.
Okay. So a lot to talk through. Of course, we'll take your questions. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions in the show. We've got live feed spoiler updates coming up later on in the show. Tomorrow night, Thursday, after the eviction, Johnny Mac will be joining us. So very excited to have the rock star dentist here with us on the show tomorrow night. That's going to be kicking off at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time after the eviction. Be on the lookout for football. There's the Thursday night, the preseason football. Watch out. Okay. All right. So I guess let's talk through some of this. And I guess let's take this in order, because this was a bit of a Greek tragedy tonight, Puya.
Yeah, we had a little bit of everything going on. As some people may know, as Brent has famously made it known on the live updates, I tend to kind of like go forward and then come back again. We didn't get some stuff. We got a lot of other stuff. So it's a bit of a mishmash. So we might as well tackle as much of it as we can.
Okay. Well, I know we're in good hands to fill in anything that we did not get from the episode. But really, it all started picking up it from the end of the hacker competition. And we had the replacement nomination of with Rockstar going back on the block. And a very sad Rockstar tonight. Nothing. This was really a no good, rotten, terrible night for Rockstar all around, Melissa.
Yeah, it just was really bad. I feel like, you know, it's hard because she gets so excited because, you know, the people who are on the block are who she wants to be on the block. And then, oh no, she gets back put on the block. And then, oh, she might win the veto. Oh no, she doesn't win the veto and embarrasses herself. It's honestly, it was like so sad to watch. I mean, especially when you see everybody cheering for her. It was a tough one.
Yeah. Puya, we see a little bit of the beginning of a Rockstar being a little salty with Peanut about, Casey's asking her, you know, how are you doing? And she's like, not good. Not great. Not great.
Not good.
Not
yeah,
happy.
We got a bit more rock salt now is what the direction we've been heading with her. She, you know, she's not weak. She let it know she's a boss ass bee. And yes, she might cry, but that's not weakness. That is not weakness. Don't get it twisted.
Yes. No, she really is a boss ass bee. She's really gone full rock star, Calafiore.
I'm not going to be intimidated by these people because I'm a boss ass bitch. Like, there's no way I'm not winning this.
Yeah. She calls her shot. Guarantee
we had
it.
To hear way too many Rockstar DRs in this episode. I mean, I like Rockstar way more when we hear less of her in the DR. Her DR voice is just, oh God, I can't handle it. Cause she doesn't talk like that most of the time. Mm-hmm. She really doesn't. And then all of a sudden she puts on this like weird persona. Like, I'm going to win this beat. It's like this crazy mishmash of accents. And I didn't like it.
What is good? we're seeing Falte. They're trying to get to the bottom of who the hacker is. They're wondering, is it Scotty? Could it be Tyler? It's probably Casey. I noticed something about Haley that she does not really get too hot in terms of being angry. I noticed a couple times tonight Haley is saying the type of things like, "I'm really angry right now. I'm really mad.
Really mad.
I'm angry right now."
Yeah, not quite. She doesn't really express it. It's more just she says that she's angry.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen her get sad in the house, Puya. But in terms of her, you know, really angry side, I feel like that she is either super well controlled or is not as angry as she's leading on.
Yeah, no, she's able to keep a very cool, calm, and collective when she needs to. I feel like the only place where we see that kind of negative reaction, negative anger type, is when Fessy's just being a complete dummy. So, and she's just outraged by the things he has to say. Other than that, she's pretty good at keeping composure when she needs to.
We got a small segment tonight, which was really just kind of a one-off about the ongoing Sam struggle, Melissa, about how she is upset Tyler has been there for her. I mean, going back to week one when she was the robot and Tyler was holding her robot hand, that he has been a good shoulder for Sam to cry on, and he's doing a pretty good job. But then Sam, almost a shade of Caitlin, that she's having a hit. That Tyler, she's feeling for some reason like he is a snake.
Yeah, I feel like, what do you say to that? Like, if you're Tyler, how do you respond to that? Like, she's like,
what?
I hear a rattle.
What?
I hear a rattle every time you speak to me. And then he's just like, oh, that's, whoa. But like, what do you say? I mean, I'm not a snake. Like, you shouldn't be hearing that. I don't know what you're talking about. Because yes, you have to like take her seriously, or else she'll be like, why aren't you taking me seriously? Why aren't you listening to me? But at the same time, you have to kind of tell her that that's not right. You're not a snake. It's just, I don't really know how to deal with Sam at this point in time.
Puya, what's worse, being a snake or just having snake-like tendencies?
I feel like if you're going to be a snake, you got to try and rattlesnake your opponent. So I think in that front, she's doing fine. But that, now that you bring up the snake-like tendencies, it kind of is a marriage of Dominique and Caitlin, what we got with Sam tonight. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I think it was Brent, I believe, on one of the many podcasts that I've had the pleasure of listening to this week, that Brent was talking about how this might be like a side thing to like hit on Angela, calling Angela the rattlesnake that's surrounding him as far as energy goes. So maybe that's
like a premonition. I feel like that you're being surrounded by a snake, and that's what I'm getting from you. And that snake is Angela, and we need to get rid of her.
Exactly.
Yes.
The rattlesnake.
Now, Melissa, did you feel like that the narrative was advanced of that Sam is not doing well with tonight's episode?
I feel like it's kind of half and half because, you know, you sit there and you're like, she's hearing rattles. She's thinking snakes. She's talking in weird code. What's going on? She's clearly not well. But then you sit there and say, oh, you know, she's calling Tyler a snake. She's saying she shouldn't trust him. Maybe she's onto something. She's kind of right here. So either she's completely lost her mind or she's somehow tuned in to what's really going on in the house, and it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. We check in with Tyler and Haley. They have another one of these conversations where Tyler's letting her know, just, you know, I'm not the hacker. And Haley is saying, just so you know, I'm not trying to backdoor you. That is not my plan. But yeah, I think that Haley did not do a great job. And again, it's a little hard to line up the angles based on the camera shots. But to me, it looked like she was not looking at Tyler at all. And I felt like that, to me, that's always a tell when somebody on one of these shows is being particularly evasive.
Definitely. And I feel like, yeah, you're talking about the angles. Tyler's kind of situated a little bit to the lower of the bed. So he's looking up at her and she's not really looking in his general direction. And the way she kind of brings up this conversation seemed like the conversation stopped. And then she went, and I'm not backdooring you. So it was like this weird pause in the middle too. No eye contact. And I feel like ultimately doesn't really sell it well, even in the conviction in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's just a tango these two are dancing at this point.
Well, so I thought it was funny when Tyler's in the diary room saying like, yeah, why wouldn't you want a backdoor me?
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. Why wouldn't you want to backdoor him? He's clearly winning all the veto competitions and you're going to have a really hard time getting him out.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's check back in with Rockstar, and her and Sam are talking. I'm not sure what Sam was doing, pouring hot water down the drain. Must have been some sort of a clog. But they're talking about whether or not Casey is the hacker, because they're feeling like it's real shady, real cute and real shady. And so Rockstar and Casey have it out a little bit, Puya.
Yeah, this is probably the most animated we've seen Casey yet on the show. And I feel like this was the battle of the hands and the neck. Rockstar does this a lot. Casey does this a lot. For the audio-only people, a lot of hand movements, a lot of neck movements. And this was a bit of a yelling match that ultimately doesn't really go anywhere, except for Rockstar standing in the bedroom later, kind of saying like, well, I'm up again, three times up. This is me. This was a weak-ass move. They should have made a power move. And it's just, honestly, it's like you're directly talking to Casey at this point, even though you're telling her you're not saying it. You're there with her in the same room. So.
Yeah, Melissa, I feel like that Rockstar was trying to make a weird point of that, hey, you're the hacker. Make a big move. Why are you going after me? That's real cute. Why don't you go ahead and make a real move in this game and target somebody who's actually a good player, not me?
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, not quite usually something that someone says is like, hey, why don't you go after the good players? I'm a bad player.
But then she's also in this episode telling us how she's a fighter and a good player.
Right. Right. And she's also saying, I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm going to come at you directly if I'm going to come at you. And then she like does this passive aggressive under her breath comment to Casey, which starts this fight. It's like, OK, so no, you are a little scared or you don't want to actually come right out and say, you know, you're the hacker. Why did you do this to me? Like you could have put anyone else up. Instead, she's just like, there's other people in this house. There's other people. It's like, okay, what are you trying to say? You're clearly trying to say something to me. And I feel like Casey also didn't do a super great job in this confrontation either, because I mean, she reacted in the way that, you know, someone who is not innocent would react, which
yes,
is reacting.
Yes.
I mean, if anything, she should have said, look, like, I know, I'm sorry you're on the block, but it wasn't me. I'm not the hacker. And then just like went her own way. And instead she came right back at Rockstar. Like, why are you trying to say it's me? Why would you think it's me? I'm not the hacker. I don't know what you want me to tell you. And then they get in this whole fight for no reason.
Yes, Melissa, I love when you bring your lawyer skills into this, because I picked up on the same thing. I felt like that her worst moment in all of this was when Casey says, hey, if one more person says I'm the hacker, I'm going to blow up. And to me, I always feel like that the innocent person really wants to explain it of like, no, let me talk you through this whole thing. And the guilty person is like, hey, we're done here. We're not talking about this anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you bring it up again, I'm going to lose it. And because I know this, because this is how my wife often talks to me when I ask her questions about stuff. And so that I feel like this was a very guilty person, Puya.
Yeah, no, she reeked of it. She reeked of it. And like her justification of, well, Scotty got taken off the block too. Was it Scotty? So if it's Scotty, if it wasn't Scotty, then it's not me. Like trying to do all that. And then exactly what you bring up now, that kind of argument to end it is like in a Western when the guy runs out of bullets and throws the gun as the last resort. That's what you're doing. It's just like, don't piss me off because you don't want me pissed off. Let's just drop it. And it's like, kind of like an empty threat at that point.
Okay. So Tyler gets picked by the hacker to compete. And so we set up this three-person showdown for Otev with the sniffling skunk. Puya, did that do anything for you, the sick skunk?
I mean, I had talked about this with Liana in this past week. It was kind of like, it's got to be better than the pig from last season. That pig was demonic. It was terrifying. I did not like it. And it definitely did improve on that. But why was it a skunk? And why did the, I don't know, I didn't like the skunk's voice, just the fluids discharged at them, the smoke grenade discharged at them. It was a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
A lot.
I saw this quite a bit on Twitter, including from Mike Bloom of you keyed in on the skunk's voice earlier. Why did the skunk have the same voice as Scotty? A lot of people were asking that question tonight. Hey, guys.
It's just Scotty standing behind it. I don't understand why I feel like the Otevs have been getting just grosser and grosser every year. It's like now a gross out competition where it's like, okay, and now between the rounds, I'm just going to vomit on you. It's like, I don't know why all of a sudden that happened. It used to be like, I am Otev. And he was like this big statue guy. And it was just like this,
yes,
you know, you're supposed to bow to him and you're supposed to like present your thing at the altar. Now it's like, he like farts on you and it's like this long extended fart until like, you know, each person is like covered in fart juice. It's like, what is going on?
Oh my God.
I don't know what has happened to Otev.
Yeah, I don't know. All good points. All good points about where Otev has gone. But that skunk Otev is sick and needs medicine. And so we have this 3-versus-3 battle, and everybody is out there. And we see the first question ends up being, you know, we have to bring back the Caitlin and Bailey medicine, and we see that, Fessy is the first person to go, and he pronounces, he says Caitlin oil, and it was, Caitlin all, and everybody's like, ha ha ha, Fessy, you stupid idiot. But then there really was Caitlin oil.
Yeah, I mean, there was another medicine that had that phrase, so he wasn't entirely wrong. I mean, he must have seen it on another one,
yeah,
and then brought it up and pronounced it. So
we're gonna make fun of Fessy tonight, but I mean, that is the least of the things to make fun of Fessy about. But in the very first round, it came down to KC versus Rockstar, and had KC beaten Rockstar up the steps, Puya. I think that, actually, the Rockstar would have been eliminated, but maybe Haley would have won the Power Veto.
I mean, that's not impossible, given that...
Sliding doors.
You remove Rockstar from that final three, and Tyler is just going to sit up there with his wrong answer. So it would have been... Rockstar did, she rob Tyler of having that misfortune and took it for herself.
Yeah. So there's so many things in this epic OTEV battle that you could point to. But we're going to see that that Casey goes out first and then Angela goes out after. And it's Tyler versus Faute here. And so first we see Fessy goes out, and then it sets up this final three battle of Tyler and Rockstar and Haley. And we get to is this the 8 votes for Swaggy? Is this the round where Rockstar ends up telling Tyler the answer? Because I have to say, I feel like that I saw Dalton Ross say that, was this the dumbest move in the history of Big Brother? I actually feel like that in the first instance, when Tyler is up there with the wrong answer, and then Rockstar comes up and says to him the correct answer, I don't feel like that was the worst thing ever, because I feel like it was not necessarily Rockstar asking Tyler if he had the right answer, Melissa. I feel like that was Rockstar asking Tyler if she had the right answer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. She was just checking her work, unfortunately. I mean, she assumed that he had the right answer because he was so confident and he ran up there right away. So she thought maybe she was wrong. And so she asked him, and just for clarification, turns out she should not have done that. But generally, it's not that big of a move. You know, it's not that bad of a move. However, you probably shouldn't compare your answers with somebody who's on the opposite side, because they could also lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Puya? That was Rockstar as bad as it was made out to be here with saying the answer to Tyler?
Well, I mean, no, because look at it. Okay, Rockstar can speak a big game as much as she wants. You know, she keeps trying to tell us she's not weak. She knows, she feels so insecure about her position in the house. She feels so insecure that it's her third time up. The hacker clearly sees her as a weak person. So when Tyler, as Melissa said, gets up there in like 2.3 seconds and is holding one already confidently, and he's won vetoes in the past, you want to double check with that guy. You want to make sure you're on the right page going up second, because you still have a chance to go back down. And the fact that there were different colored medicine bottles, she can't see his answer, but she could probably see the different color. It's like, let me double check with this guy. And then Tyler, you know, gets the answer at that point.
Yeah. The only thing is that, like, why does it really matter if she's right? Do you know what I mean? Because Haley's the only one left in the competition, and you know Haley's going to take Rockstar down. So, you know, as long as Tyler has it right, which she presumes he has it right already, I mean, like, does it really matter? I don't see why she needs to check the answer with him. I mean, there's always the possibility that the person you're competing against has the wrong answer, and she should have just hoped for that at that point.
Well, you are thinking about this with Melissa brain as opposed to Rockstar brain, because that is not how Angie Rockstar's wiring works, unfortunately.
No. Yeah, not quite, yes. Unfortunately.
Now, Puya, should somebody be locked in once they get up there with the bottle in OTEV with their answer? Should they be allowed to leave?
I feel like maybe if they kneel, it's done. Maybe if they're up there, they can keep double checking. Like if Tyler stands on the side and waits it out until they come up, then sits down. Maybe that would be more, shall we say, fair. But then we wouldn't get the fun back and forth. I mean, they want us to watch them go up this,
go
like,
up and down the waterfall
slope. Yeah, that's half the fun. You saw the slow motion tonight. Like, this is stuff we're meant to enjoy as well as part of the viewing experience. I feel like that's why we're not doing it.
Yeah. Rockstar says to Tyler after that, don't F me, Tyler, okay? This is, I helped you out. Don't Don't F me, Melissa. And to me, this is a little bit like shades of Lex and Boston Rob of the back in Survivor All-Stars. You know, one of the all-time most famous reality TV moments for my money, where that Lex comes to Boston Rob after Lex doesn't vote out Amber and is basically sort of like, hey, man, I hooked you up, so you know, don't screw me over on this.
Mm-hmm. They will.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is I feel like it's just an open-ended nothingness. And Rockstar seemed to be banking on that after the fact. I mean, she would tell people, look, like, I told Tyler not to F me, and he said he wasn't going to F me, and he agreed to it. So, you know, we're all good here, hopefully. But, I mean, that's just, it means nothing. Like, that comment doesn't mean anything. If anything, she should have been like, use the veto on me, like, you promised you'll use it on me, or said something that he could either say yes or no to. And if he says no, okay, well, you know, you tried, you know where his alliance or allegiance lies. But if he says yes, that I will use the veto on you, or that I won't, whatever, I won't, I'll use the veto on you, then she would know, okay, he's just lied to me. And she can tell everyone, he told me he was going to use the veto on me. At this point, it's like, he told me he wasn't going to F me. And everyone's like, yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah. Puya, it's always a dangerous recipe to count on in any of these shows of, well, he owes me one now.
Right. And there's two things wrong with this, right? One thing is, the minute Haley comes up, she's like, I gave him the answer by mistake. Like, don't own up to that it was wrong and then later try and overcorrect it by saying, so I helped you out, right? Like, you wouldn't be here without me. Now you owe me one. Like, you already gave him the milk. He doesn't, the invoice doesn't matter anymore. He has the milk. Like, don't worry about it. It's gone.
All right. So Haley is eliminated. We get to the final round, and these are the people that I forget what it was, 8 votes, I guess. And we see that Rockstar comes back with Caitlin and Bailey. She gets to the top of the stairs. She pulls a Tyler. She's up there with the wrong answer. And I thought that the show did a very nice job of really, like, it was like Rocky climbing up the stairs. And this was, for a moment, Melissa, this victorious interlude for Rockstar.
Oh, absolutely. If I didn't know any better, I'd be like, yeah. If I'm a Rockstar fan, I'd be like screaming, so happy. Like, she did it. Yeah, you thought she wasn't going to get it. She beat Tyler. And her whole team is, you know, jumping up and down and cheering and going like, yeah, you got this. That was it. That's my girl, you know. And it just comes crashing down.
Yes, we see that she has the wrong answer. Puya, JC was beside himself.
He couldn't believe it. It was a big fumble. And like, how animated that other side was. They thought, oh my God, David took down Goliath. Mm-hmm. She managed to do it. We didn't think this was coming. And sure enough, it didn't. The fact that Tyler had accepted defeat at that point, Tyler decides to style it out on his way up, does the flip over the log, does the slow-mo hair flick like the lifeguard that we know he is, and then makes his way up. And he's right. So now that works out. And then my favorite part was the slow-mo of Rockstar coming down the slope after she is
poor Rockstar, who is staying up on the block. I could not believe this. Then here is Fessy after all of this talking about his alliance and the problems there.
My alliance with Haley and Rockstar, we're like the bad news bears, man. We've been blindsided for the past 3 weeks. Rockstar is on the block every week. Now she does this veto nonsense, tells Tyler the right answer. Rockstar might go home on Haley's HOH. How did I get stuck with these people?
Now, Puya, you've done a great job on the Friday morning updates with Taryn talking about Fessy all season long. Where does this guy get off now? Shading Faute like he's the brainer of this operation?
Yeah, he is definitely the brainer of the operation, if you ask Fessy and nobody else. I mean, the guy is just delusional, obviously. And you know the alliance has gone completely haywire when both the DRs we get, the number of DRs we got tonight from that side were mostly Fessy, and then Fessy's coming out talking about this, kind of throwing her under the bus. And it's like, all right, well, we're get to you, buddy. Like, there are many receipts for poor Fessy. It's coming up. I mean, You know, he started off as the Amazon warrior, and now he's going to go down as something much worse. So
yeah, when Fessy is the smart one of your alliance and all the DRs, when he sounds smart and he sounds like he knows what he's doing, that's when you know you're in a lot of trouble.
There's just so much finger pointing all the time on Faute. They're talking about how, like, well, like, it's this person's fault that this happened, and this person's fault that this happened. They can't get it together. And but for Fessy to be blaming Rockstar here, like he is without any fault in this mess that they've gotten themselves into this season.
Yeah, I mean, well, also
he went out in this comp.
He was trying to get Rockstar. Yeah. He was trying to find a Rockstar one when she's still in the house.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
He has no room to be speaking like this.
Yes. Melissa? Did you think that was a premonition?
Yeah, it is. No, I don't know.
I do think that this was a rather difficult OTEV competition. Do they normally have to get two things? I feel like it's normally like bring me back the name of the person, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this was actually, I thought, challenging.
Yeah, normally it's like, but we've had like the merged ones before, but you know, we typically will get like just the one person, you know, like when the singing clam was OTEV, it was bring me the song I sing. It was about one person. When Casey was the banana man, I believe that was also one person. So it kind of comes down to luck of the draw. And not only do they get the harder one with two, but they also get one of the grossest ones, like Melissa brought on earlier. This was truly, you were a warrior if you made it through this, like, fine.
Okay. So, Melissa, could you give us some insight into Haley's decision? Because I feel like the show did not do a great job of why she ultimately went back to Casey for the replacement nominee. She talked about how, look, I need to put somebody up on the block that will ensure that Rockstar stays. I need a big target that's going to go up there. And ultimately, it ends up being Casey.
Yeah, I mean, that side of the house seems to still believe that everyone is kind of every man for himself and no one's actually in an alliance with each other and no one really is working together, except they seem to now think that Angela and Tyler are really connected, but that's like the one connection in the house, which is like so ridiculous. But they seem to think that they have a good chance of getting Casey out because, well, Casey's not connected with anyone. Why would they keep her around? So they figure that that's the best chance that Rockstar has to stay safe. They don't see, you know, people voting JC out. Haley made a deal with Sam, so they didn't want to put Sam up. Plus, Rockstar and Sam are really close. So it's just, it's shocking to me once again that they cannot figure out that there is a giant alliance that is their blind spot.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought we were going to get to see it on the show. I know Brent talked about it on the show on Sunday night, and I know that Taryn and Kirsten detailed it in a very fun way on Sunday morning on the live feed update. But we didn't get to see any of Rockstar and Haley campaigning for Tyler to use the veto. Now, they really believe Tyler was going to use the veto and take Rockstar down, right?
Yeah, they hook, line, and sinker believed every bit of themselves and how much they had the power of convincing Tyler. And I was bummed because I noticed it was like 52-53. I was like, I don't think we're getting that segment. That's a bummer. So that's a shame because honestly, guys, that was one of the best things we had seen this past week. And if anyone wants to go back to look at it, you want to go to Saturday night's feeds and watch it back.
Yeah,
I feel like Big Brother, the producers are still on this narrative that Haley is like the brains of the operation. And I feel like if they show that if they show that segment where she's pitching in the bathtub, she will lose all credibility, essentially. So I feel like they
would hurt her story for the season.
They cannot let that happen. They want her to look like it's Haley versus Tyler, and you know they're going to go at each other. They're these strong people, and all the DRs are saying that as well. I mean, Haley and every DR is like, I know that Tyler is the head of the snake, and really in real life, she thinks that he's like a sad little lamb who is too gentle for this game, and he just does whatever the pretty girl tells him to do, which is like totally off.
So maybe we'll get that in some sort of a recap of the recap, because it is very funny. I was watching some of that from some of the feed updates that get posted to YouTube the other day. So we end up with Tyler. Then he is going to use the power of veto and use it to take down Angela, of all people. And so we see then that the replacement needs to get put up. But yeah, I thought that Tyler was kind of rough in the veto ceremony. Why did he take this approach after, you know, he got into it with Bailey only a week ago in the house? I mean, he's done so many things right this season. Why piss so many people off at the veto ceremony?
You know, I don't know, because like this kind of goes against what we've seen from Tyler. You know, he's been the one person from his side that, you know, has, so far has done well on the goodbye message. So you think like jury management, top of this kid's mind. However, I do feel like his ego has been crushed somewhat. He still cannot let go of the fact that last week Haley took a shot at him. And the hubris that Haley has to think that, oh, she can convince me to do whatever she wants because she's got me under her little thumb. He doesn't like that. I feel like Tyler's ego was hurt a little bit, and he still wants to. I feel like the overcorrection from BB19 for him is to do well on the goodbye messages. So he's going to fix whatever wrong he does then. This is the one platform he has to kind of be like, hey, Haley, you thought you had my number. I wronged you on a couple of digits. You don't have any idea what's going on. You don't have me. I'm going to do this because this is my time. So I feel like it's for him to kind of regain that confidence that I feel like kind of got cracked a little bit once Haley put him up last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Melissa, we see then that it is going to be Casey back up on the block. And, you know, Rockstar is really besides herself. We see at the end of the episode. And she's not happy that Angela came down. This is what she said.
Pretty privileged princess gets pulled off the block. Guess I should have batted some eyelashes. But I'm not here to give up. I'm not giving up.
Pretty privileged princess. Will that nickname stick for Angela?
That's basically what we've been hearing out of Rockstar's mouth on repeat this whole week. It's basically, that's her little catchphrase for Angela. And she just talks about how Angela gets everything she wants. And she's super pretty, petty, privileged princess, whatever. All the P words. So, you know, that's kind of just been Rockstar's, you know, broken record. So yeah,
I don't know a lot about Angela outside of the house. Puya, is she come from such a wealthy background?
Not that I really know of. I feel like that's just kind of the narrative that was thrust upon her by Rockstar. And that's what Rockstar wants to believe. Although I do hope that enough people kind of bring this around, because we've talked about how, you know, that side, they kind of bring all the information, they discuss this, and they have like a meta discussion of everything they're getting. I hope she hears about this. And I would love a DR where she says, PPP always pulls through and we have a sequel to PP from BB18.
That would be great if we could do that. Anything from BB18 that we can bring back. I think that was on my All Paul soundboard, which I don't have loaded on this.
All Paul soundboard? That's a scary soundboard.
I think in Big Brother 18, I had a soundboard that was all Paul clips, basically. And we liked it. It was fun then.
Back then it was nice, and then now it's not so nice.
It was popular. Brett only had really one moment in the episode. He came in and Casey told him that she was the hacker, and he talked about how he is infiltrated the other side. And again, we didn't even see him come up as somebody who was a potential person to go up on the block, Melissa.
Yeah, no, they were not going to nominate him at all. I either nominate him initially or as a replacement. Haley thinks that she has Brett, you know, wrapped around her finger and that he'll do whatever she says. And honestly, when they're counting the votes all week, he's been one of the number one votes that they think they have besides Fessy. So they're totally snowed by him.
Yeah, I mean, Puya, Brett has done better than we ever thought it was possible in terms of, I don't know, maybe his background in sort of, we scoffed about him being a hacker, but it seems like that he is like very buttoned up when it comes to these undercover missions.
Mm-hmm. He sells it really well. He has really great conviction. You know, on one hand, you see on this week's veto, the Haley Fessies just cheering their side. Like, if it wasn't obvious they were an alliance, this would be the week that we'd see it, but we've seen it, like, they've been seeing it since week one. Whereas last week's veto, Brett was able to successfully sell that he's kind of pissed off about, you know, Tyler taking his Hawaii trip, and they've rode that out since. It's gotten to the point now where he's not even seen as with them. That's why Casey's the one that's going up, because Haley sees her as the only person that she can throw up to kind of slight Tyler in a way. They've done a really good job separating. He's done a really good job infiltrating and bringing bad information to them. And we'll talk about this later on, but he's been doing pretty good, the Lord's work with this information for our entertainment purposes. So all team Brent, Brett.
I keep doing the same thing. I have to think about it in my head beforehand. Is it Brent or Brett?
It's like Melissa Marissa during Celebrity Big Brother. Now you know how we felt.
Too many similar names. It's impossible. Now we just need Taryn in there.
A Terrell. We need a Terrell.
Taryn and a
Torrance.
Yeah.
Time.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions and then we'll get into everything from the live feeds. Let's take this question from Jordan. Do you think it's fair to have questions that some house guests were directly involved in, like Tyler nominating Steve? I mean, Melissa, this has gone back throughout the entire history of Big Brother. Sometimes they have questions that involve the house guests. I mean, I think you just gotta, you know, you get a break here and there.
Yeah. I mean, plus they're supposed to know all this stuff anyway. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to them just because they're not, maybe not involved in the decision making that week. It shouldn't mean, like, it shouldn't preclude them from asking that as a question.
Okay. Let's take this question. This is from Doreen. Does anyone else on the panel get a bit of a dirty feel to the level 6 gameplay? Something about their methods don't sit well with me. Puya, have you gotten that from level 6 at this point with the, okay, we're going to run circles around these people. We're going to, you know, I'm going to be a mole. we'll really get them going. Do you feel like, has there been anything that's happened from the level 6 side yet that you feel like was crossing a line?
Not really. And it's twofold, my reasonings. One is that I feel like if I was to call anything, because I don't buy the whole, you know, you do what you got to do. At any point, do what you got to do. I feel like the closest thing I felt to like this kind of dirty was last season. So if I'm going to directly compare the two, this is amazing in comparison. So I'm all for that. And then the other thing is they're running circles around them, but they're not doing it without dropping crumbs of information that these people aren't even seeing. They're kicking it under the rugs themselves. So I kind of feel like it's their own fault this is happening to them. And I'm kind of okay with it given what I'm getting in return.
Yeah. Melissa, you feel the same way?
Yeah, essentially. I feel like, I mean, yeah, obviously, in comparison to last season, nothing that they have done has even touched
that. Just so we're on the same page, we're comparing it to last season, sort of like the psychological of, right. Hey, let's right. all make this person's life miserable, so they go ahead and they
bullying,
quit the game.
The right. ganging up on people, that's dirty to me, and that crosses a line, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, this season, I'm not seeing them really cross a line. I will say that... I'm not a huge fan of some of the mocking that they do of the other side when it comes to, like, I'm going to pretend like I'm super into this idea and then go back to my friends and laugh about them and make them look stupid and talk about how dumb they are. Like, that stuff isn't as much something I like because it really doesn't have anything to do with the game. There's really nothing that's going that helps them moving forward by doing this. Just this isn't really spoilers. It's just that Brett made a fake final two with Rockstar. And so she's believing it and he's feeding into it. He's saying, this is a great idea. No one will see it coming. It's hidden in plain sight. And they're going back and forth about it. They've named it, all that sort of stuff. And then he'll go back to level 6 and be like, oh my God, she's such an idiot to believe this. I can't believe she's actually falling for it. Let's mock her in the goodbye messages. Let's go back. Why don't you go back and suggest you use this name? Or why don't you go back and do this to her? And like, that doesn't really further anything with the gameplay because they want to vote Rockstar out anyway. So I'm not a huge fan of that type of thing that doesn't really help them move forward in the game. But I don't feel like it's crossed any lines. I'm just not as big of a fan of that sort of thing.
Yeah, the one thing I would say with that is that if Brett was ever going to, like, really go for something on the other side of the house, like, the level six people would never see it coming, right, Puya? I mean, would there be some wisdom in Brett flipping from being the mole? And again, it's a story that is as old as these reality TV shows of, like, hey, I'm going to pretend to go work with these people. I'm really working with these people. And so would there be any reason for Brett to really jump to that other side?
I feel like if he comes to the realization that the makeup of this side versus the makeup of that side, he can take on that side
and
better.
He's on the bottom of level six. I mean, right. Let's be blunt about this also.
Yeah. No, ever since, you know, his buddy Winston went, I feel like he did kind of fall down the totem pole. But then at the same time, he probably feels comfortable because he was up there with, you know, other level six members twice, was saved both times. So he feels more comfortable with them right now. Also, to add to that, if I don't know if you guys noticed this, in his DR tonight, once he finds out Casey won, he's like, woo, now I know where my loyalties are, you know, level six till I die. Mm-hmm. We got this. I feel like it was kind of he was riding that thin line. In the event that they were going to get some kind of problems this week, he would have done what he needed to do for himself. But since it was fine, he was like, phew, don't have to deal with this dilemma, moral dilemma for another week.
Mm-hmm. Let me just also clarify my point in that I think that if this had a strategic reason behind it, I could get behind it. Even if they're going back to their alliance being like, he's so ridiculous, I can't believe he'd think I would make a final two, or I can't believe she'd think I would make a final two. Like, for example, if he made a final two with Haley or with Scotty or someone like that, and that was to further their own game, and then went back to the group and was like, I can't believe she's falling for this. However, with Rockstar, it's like, they're already planning on voting her out of the house. There's really no strategic benefit for doing this. It just makes Rockstar look bad. It makes them look bad to Rockstar. And once they vote her out and they see in the the goodbye messages that they're mocking her. I mean, it just, there's no strategic benefit for it. So I could see a strategic reasoning for doing it for other situations and I can get behind it. But this one, I don't like it. If there's nothing strategic and it's more just to mock the person, I don't like it.
Okay. This is a question from Torin on Twitter. Which was dumber, Bailey exposing her power or a Rockstar telling Tyler the answer? Melissa, do you have a strong take on this one?
I think that Bailey exposing her power was just such a bad move. I think she was in such a good place before then. And, you know, it was something that maybe she says it's not intentional, but though that was, I mean, she told her about it and that came out of her mouth. And yeah, she wanted to suck it back in. But like, you know, Rockstar's thing was just checking the answer. It wasn't like, Tyler, you're wrong. Go down there and go fix it. Like, you need to get the right answer and help, really helping him. It was more just like, hey, is this right? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. Bailey's was more deliberate and she yeah, that was just so bad for Bailey. So I would say that definitely Bailey revealing her power was worse.
Yeah, I think that Bailey's game ended more prematurely because of that mistake than I think that a Rockstar, I don't know if she was going to, I mean, even if she delayed the inevitable by a week, Puya, I think that it didn't really change too much for the ultimate outcome of the season.
Yeah, I feel like this is a situation where Bailey had a power up until the eighth. Up until eight, she could have used this. She could have replaced nominations with no one knowing. She told the one person she told initially, and we were kind of like, oh, why'd you tell Fessy? But Fessy kept it to himself. Then she went to someone on the other side and told them, not even one of her other like alliance members. So that was a red flag. I feel like she had too many opportunities, too many things she could have done with that, and she didn't. Whereas Rockstar had a 1-in-3 chance at veto and still ended up being at the end to have a 1-in-2 chance at veto. So ultimately, all she really did was change her potential opponent from Tyler to Haley, and that may have benefited her. But like you said, Rob, it would have been a week maybe. Whereas, like, I feel like Bailey had win equity to some degree that she lost.
Okay. Stan's funeral. What exactly does a skunk have to do with technology, Stan?
Oh,
come on. We're well past this.
Well, if Stan wants to know what the link was to this competition, the shirts on them said Deer Dash, which is just wordplay on DoorDash. So,
oh my God,
tick the box. We move on to next week.
Deer Dash? Why was it Deer Dash?
Why did they have antlers with skunks?
I guess it was like if you get. I see that now. I'm getting sucked in. Now yeah. I'm getting yeah. sucked in
you
to
can't, you just can't
the
think about
forest
it.
Medicine. DoorDash doesn't even deliver medicine. They deliver food.
Yeah. Why is there medicine in the forest? So why are there just tons of bottles of pills everywhere? Really, like, we can't. We're getting lost in the weeds here, and we just need to just go with whatever Big Brother throws at us.
Yeah. Melissa, did you feel like that the Winston, was it Winston all that was out there? Was that more evidence that Winston is a doctor?
Oh, definitely.
Winston PM.
I mean, we're all sure that he's a doctor, right, guys? Like, I mean, yeah. It's proven.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure, Puya, that Caitlin would have only had some sort of a holistic medicine that was out there.
Yeah, if anything, Caitlin all would probably, like, the side effects were hallucinogens. Like, you would have massive amounts.
Okay. What up, Tim? I'm so happy that the OTEV questions required thought and weren't gimme questions. That was much more entertaining. So, kudos to the producers behind, as much as we're making fun of Deer Dash. So, some people were happy to get it. How many more weeks until the inevitable luxury comp? This is from Rach and her dogs, where the house guests win a chance to preview the new CBS hit comedy, The Neighborhood. All right, I guess let's take a quick prop bet tonight. Which fall CBS show will be featured in a comp, Melissa?
I don't even know all the fall CBS shows. Is Young Sheldon on CBS?
It is, but that's not a new show.
Oh, no God, I don't even know.
That's Young Sheldon's doing great.
I watch the show on a Canadian stream, so I don't know any of these commercials.
That's then you're on global. but Puya, do you have any guesses?
I think it is going to be The Neighborhood. I feel like just based on the promo I've seen, they put a lot of money into this. They brought in, I don't know who likes him still, but they brought Cedric the Entertainer. He's in there. Mm-hmm. They brought one half of the two Broke Girls. She's in there. That was a show that they let go on way longer than they needed to, but they did. So there's some loyalty there. And then the one person I like, which like I'm kind of like worried for his career, is Max Greenfield, who plays Schmidt on New Girl,
yes.
who is now in this too. So I think the more interesting question to ask ourselves is which one of these three is going to be the one that comes in to promote the show?
Yeah, CBS is really raking over the bones of New Girl because Damon Wayans Jr. is on the other new sitcom that they have.
Yeah. I don't remember what the name is.
Living Together, I think is what it's called. And then I still vote for a competition hosted by Murphy Brown. I think that's still the way to go. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to question for Grandpa Lou, one of the great listeners. Is Casey the first player to ever be nominated twice in 1 week? Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. she is. That is official. So congratulations mm-hmm. to Casey for making history. One more question, then we'll get into the live feeds. Katie says, felt like Tyler was channeling some inner TKO when he won the veto. Melissa, was TKO a good prep for Tyler coming into the season?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you had the rolling over the log, the dramatic mm-hmm. hair flip. I mean, there was so much that he needed to prep for this one. So I'm really glad he got that extra experience.
You know, not for anything, Puya, but I do kind of feel like that it might have been some good practice for Tyler. I mean, don't forget that he won that first HOH, which was a physical comp. I do think that maybe that he did have maybe a 5% advantage in that first HOH competition, where we've seen him do very well in almost anything that has like a physical element to it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, part of it might be his build, his occupation. He's a lifeguard, so sure. But then the other part, he has done some kind of carnival-esque, like maybe he felt what the material was on the TKO obstacle and thought, this is kind of the same as that. So I know how to run the adhesive. I know how to deal with that. All of that included, I feel like some of his trash talking he picked out and brought in with him with what we saw in the veto ceremony. So it's kind of that part of him booming. So I do think at the very least, the 5 to 10% advantage could be in talk here.
Okay. Actually, let's do one more question. It's a good one from Jill, who says, why didn't Haley just put up Sam next to Rockstar? She could play it off as having mercy and letting Sam go to jury, and she could keep a loyal member of her alliance. So, Melissa, was this idea floated about with Sam and Haley?
It was somewhat floated at the beginning of the week, but Rockstar was really vouching for Sam because Sam kind of is under Rockstar's wing slash kind of control, at least at the beginning of the week. So Rockstar figured, you know, we don't want to put Sam up because I can control her. And Sam and Haley make a deal together that she's not going to put her up. She's not, and Sam's not going to put Haley up. So Haley's like, should I go back on this deal with Sam or should I keep my word to Sam? And Rockstar had basically said, keep your word to Sam. So it seemed like Haley just didn't want to go back on her word. And, you know, I would have preferred that Sam goes on the block and goes home because, you know, she doesn't want to be there. So it would have been Sam's, you know, mercy kill that she was hoping for initially.
Mercy curb stomp me? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, from the darkest hour of the, you are the opposite of female empowerment. It does seem as though that the Sam and Haley relationship is much more improved.
Definitely much more improved. I feel like also it helps that now she has moved her sights over to Angela. And now any type of feeling she had there, she's starting to feel more towards Angela, with Angela's behavior with Tyler, Angela's behavior with Brett, and all that other stuff going on. And I feel like the other reason why she wasn't really considered to go up next to Rockstar at this point was because Haley could not handle the fact that Tyler ruined her plans. The fact that that side is about to do this to Rockstar. She didn't like it. She knew Casey won it. She wanted to put Casey back up, kind of teach her a lesson. She had said before the veto had gone on, she said, the way Casey's behaving, I might not even put Tyler back. I might not backdoor Tyler. I might just put up Casey. And like, we kind of know that's kind of bold. I was in the moment, but ultimately she didn't want that. And she wanted to make sure this was put in as a thing. And also, I don't know how much he thought the validity of Sam going home in that scenario would be. And then Sam's just double pissed because she's made a promise that she's not keeping anymore.
All right.
Right. And it also seems that, you know, Haley believes that she has the votes. That's another thing to it is that, well, why would we just have Sam go home when we can have Casey go home? Which is pretty much their thought process is they believe that they have the votes.
All right. Well, we're going to get into talking about the live feeds. Of course, Johnny Mac is going to be live with us along with Taryn coming up on Thursday night. So don't miss that if you're going to be jumping out here. But stick around because we're going to talk about the vote and what we are projecting for Thursday night in the Big Brother house coming up now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about the spoilers. I couldn't find the buzzer that I forgot. Rachel had it.
Where's the silly string?
When Brendan was shooting the silly string everywhere. It was a real
and you were going, no,
no, no, no, no, no. Okay. All right. So, Melissa, the big night is tomorrow when, once again, Faute is going to get another big surprise.
Yeah, I don't know how it's a surprise at this point, but they are thoroughly convinced that they have the votes this week. They believe that Sam, Brett, and JC will all be voting with Fessy and Scotty to keep Rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that is not the case.
Right. Okay. So we're going to see Rockstar leave shocked by a vote of still 5-1.
Yeah. I believe, yes, with okay. The canceled vote.
Boy, Puya, do you see any room for things to change in the next 24 hours?
No. Like, I hate to sound blunt and make it seem like it's donezo, but it's pretty much donezo. Like Melissa alluded to earlier, they're kind of gotten to the point where they know it's done, so they're trying to have as much fun with it as they can. Now their new mission is let's try and get Rockstar to say sixth level in her goodbye, in her final speech there, and like just trying to have as much fun, throw in some Easter eggs for themselves, for the people at home. And that's kind of what they're doing now because it's kind of foregone. And the reason why they were so successful is because Brett did what he said on the show. He very well managed to infiltrate that group and make it seem like he's with them. Sam and Rockstar's report this past week, Rockstar really does feel confident in that they've managed to bring her over. And then Fessy is in love with JC and is convinced that JC's a straight shooter and will do what I want him to. And we're at that point now where he's going to do what I want him to. And that's where we lie now, these three people. And again, all these people, the one person they're still like, oh my God, what if, like, is Scotty? Like, they're not even thinking that Brett's going to
flip. Scotty, who has barely been in the show for a little bit now. Okay, so listen, tomorrow night, the hacker is going to come on the screen. Whose vote will be canceled?
I believe Fessy's vote will be canceled.
Puya, won't that be a good reaction, though, when Fessy gets his vote canceled on the live show? Like, oh, come on.
Why? What? 57 days.
Why?
Does he have any reason to believe that his vote will be canceled, Melissa?
I mean, they still are confused about who the hacker might be. They think Scotty. It might be Scotty. I honestly don't know why they keep blaming Scotty for literally everything. And they're going to be blaming Scotty tomorrow
Damn
for
it, Scotty.
The vote. They're going to be blaming Scotty tomorrow for the vote because there's talk of Brett pretending to be the one vote. And then there's confusion between, okay, well, was it Brett or was it Scotty? And of course, they're going to believe Brett voted the way that Brett had said he was going to vote, and Scotty is the betrayer. And that is going to be just once again.
But Scotty. Won't there be a trail of breadcrumbs that they can follow now when, I mean, doesn't everybody on that side know that Brett was helping with the speech and then it didn't work?
Well, they're not going to really know until the votes are done at that point. I feel like the problem is, and I'm a firm believer of this, we're like, you know, the people that the fans that go on the show or the people that have a vested interest in the show that watch the seasons prior before they go in, they kind of have that on the mind. Whereas once you get in, especially if you're the people who didn't watch anything, like kind of like a Fessy, you're going to be going off the formula that's made your season. And then Faute from week one has had someone flip on them. And now they're just convinced if things don't go our way, someone flipped from us. So they're just going to keep going inwards and going to keep convincing themselves that that's what's happening. And the fact that Scotty seemed like is looked at as some evil genius and Brett looks like a goofball that just does extra things for being extra, it's a hard battle. It should be obvious, but it's Scotty versus Brett. And again, if they want to look back at previous seasons, Scotty looks like more of the smart guy because he's in the nerd archetype.
Yeah. Melissa, do you think that this season could take on some sort of like a tortoise in the hare vibe where, you know, level six, they're running around, they're doing all this crazy stuff, tricking Faute at every turn. But when Faute is down to, say, like two people, then, you know, then the hare is going to take a nap. Is it possible when it's just two people and whoever it is, they know they have each other's back, say it's, you know, Haley and Scotty or Haley and Fessy, and they feel like that they know, okay, it's just us against these other people. Is there a chance that the other group could crumble?
I don't know if they would crumble, but I think there is a chance that we end up with two Faute people versus two level six people in the end, or maybe a Faute and a floater and a level six person in the end. It's hard to say exactly, but I could absolutely see it. Once Faute gets picked off one by one down to the final two, I could see, you know, when you just mentioned Haley and Scotty, I was like, man, that would be great. They'd make a good pair together. But then I already, I'm like, you know what? I could absolutely see Haley not trusting Scotty at that point in time as well. I mean, you could totally be like, oh my God, he's flipping on me, when really it's not him at all. So, you know, I don't know if they could ever trust each other. I really don't. And it's sad.
Yeah. All right, Puya, I know people want to talk about the Mr. and Mrs. Smith alliance between Rockstar and Brett. And of course, Rockstar is the one who actually coins Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, no, Rockstar definitely had this thought and decided to put it out there. Given all their past history, no one would expect this to be a pairing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the biggest takeaway that everyone should have after watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith is, damn, they really share a bed together a lot in that movie. That is Brett's big takeaway that he takes back to level six.
Yes, that they hook up a lot in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, this is an idea she had. She thought it would be a good idea. You know, not a bad idea. I'm not going to lie. If this was a thing that was possible, very good if it is executed properly. But again, and like Melissa, you talked about this earlier, how you don't like the way it's been going. I feel like given the fact that Rockstar stood there a couple weeks ago banging pots and pans and saying Brett has a micro penis and all that other nonsense.
Yeah.
There we go. I feel like Brett just is like, oh, the ball is in my court now. Now I mess with her. Now I give it back in the best way possible because I know she's about to go out the door. Let me just make it extra humiliating. And this is one of the prime reasons why everyone talks about the fact that, you know, Tyler's doing so well with that side is because his people, his alliance members are not doing well with the jury management. And they're really trying to do everything they can to kind of humiliate their opponents on the way out because that is the ultimate sign of victory for them.
Yeah, apparently Angela recorded a goodbye message for Rockstar today, and it was so bad that the DR told her afterwards, this person's going to the jury. Are you sure you want to say that? And she said, yeah. And then that was that. So great. Yeah, yes. They're not doing well with the jury at all.
How do you know she came back and relayed this conversation to everybody?
She said that to level six, and they were like laughing about it because all their DR messages are going to be, or their goodbye messages are going to be bad. So
even we'll Tyler, actually, I mean,
Tyler likes to say, oh, I'm ripping them apart in the DR. I'm ripping them apart in my goodbye messages. But I don't think Tyler's actually doing that.
Yeah, and that's smart.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I think it's great that he's telling his whole team, like, oh, we're all doing it. It's all cool. And then really he's going in there being like, I'm so sorry you had to go, you know, you're a great competitor. So I'm excited to see what the goodbye messages consist of.
Also, Mike Bloom is standing by for an emergency Mr. and Mrs. Smith movie recap podcast as well for Thursday. So we'll see if necessary, we may have to pull the ripcord on that one. Let's start to bring in some of these questions as well. Kathy wants to know, is it now a requirement that all males except for Scotty go shirtless in the diary room? Please, I haven't heard anything about it, this being a requirement now.
I haven't, but then how else are you going to know Scotty's the virgin one?
Yes. Maybe could Vegas, the spoiler, weigh in on this?
That would be very necessary. I would like the inside scoop on this dilemma.
Yes. I did watch the clip also of JC, the health instructor, of giving all of the contestants some pointers in terms of making sure that everybody is having safer adult relations. And I saw a lot of people then coming in and correcting JC as if that there are some impressionable youths out there that are saying, okay, well let me get my notebook
JC
out. All right. Oh, so okay. This is what JC says. Okay. I'm going to take all my advice from JC.
Yeah, maybe let's, instead of like correcting each individual thing he says, let's just like blanket cover it and say, don't get your advice from him. Go elsewhere. Let's just rely on that.
Although maybe once upon a time somebody said the same thing about, nobody's really going to listen to Eric Stein teach people how to use the toilet. And all these years later, we find out that that's true. So who knows? Okay. Yeah. Brian Williams wants to ask us, who is more likely to eventually turn on Tyler? Casey, Ice Queen Angela, or Anal Lice Brett? Melissa, which Brett. Member of level six you think Brett?
I think Brett. I think that Angela and Tyler are kind of in some sort of showmancy type thing that's not a showmance. And Angela even said she'd, you know, jump in front of a bus for Tyler. So I really don't see Angela doing it. Casey and Tyler have a final two deal. And that was since day two. So I don't see Casey turning on him. I definitely see Brett possibly turning on him if he thinks there's a way to do it as it gets down the stretch.
Yeah, Puya, do Tyler and Brett have much of a bromance? I know that nothing will ever be like the Brett and Winston bromance, but it does feel like that it's a little bit of, they're sort of like joined through Angela and Casey. They don't really hang out too much. I guess if they're sort of like the friends gang, they're kind of like Joey and Ross. I feel like that maybe they sort of like they hang out together like in the group, but there's not a lot of like, you know, one-on-one interaction unless Monica and Rachel are involved.
Yeah, that's definitely a very, very accurate depiction of that, because it seems like, you know, let's say if someone was to bro down, there's like a quota they have to meet every day. Kind of, it seems like Brett takes most of that with Scotty and kind of gets it all out of his system with Scotty. That's who he bros down with. And then with Tyler, he's got good rapport, but they're not exactly broing it up. They're kind of like acquaintances, you know. Good acquaintances, let's say.
Yeah. And that would make Winston the Chandler of all of this, Melissa?
I was just trying to think in my head who everyone would be. And I'm kind of,
Rachel would probably be Rachel, but that's getting confusing now.
Yeah, Rachel would probably be Rachel. Monica would probably be Angela. But I don't see Casey as a Phoebe. And I also don't see any of them as a Ross. So
well, JC's,
I think this
Gunther,
kind of so went downhill
that.
Real quick. JC is Gunther.
Yeah.
It's kind of went downhill real quick. But yes. I was just trying in my head. I was like, all right, who's who? Who's who?
Okay.
Let's talk more about friends.
Okay. Fred wants to know, is Otev a single being who transforms into a different creature each year, or are these totally separate individuals who are just coincidentally named Otev? Now, interestingly, Puya, is the word Otev ever said other than by the contestants who go into the backyard and say, oh, this is Otev?
No, because usually it's some kind of animal or whatever. The way I picture it, it's kind of like, you know, an annual award that you get to. It's like the Miss Universe of Big Brother, where it's like, you are now Otev, smelly, stinky, sneezing skunk.
Yeah.
So come in next year and do your thing. So I don't know who's in the running right now for next year. It could be a bear. I don't know. The ball and bear cries. I don't know. We'll see.
Melissa, is Otev more like an anthology series where these are just the each year we see like a different iteration in the story of Otev?
Yeah, just none of them seem really. Yeah, the through line is just what gross thing can we think of? And what can we spit at the house guests? That's really basically what it is.
Okay. Will Rockstar go down as the person who has been on the block the most, according to asks Gregory McBean? Definitely not, right?
No.
Like, she's still way
not
off from the record.
Leave this week. Yeah, that's a no.
Sam is like, this must be a record.
It's like, no, it is not.
No, not close. Not close. Okay.
And also, you tell her that right as she gets on the block. It's like, I don't want to hear that. She's like, oh my God, this is great for you. It's like, no, it's not great for me at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is from Teton Jones, who says, since he knows firsthand how quickly his alliance turned on Rachel, do you think that Brett might actually jump ship next week with a Scotty or Fessy HOH? Puya, how dependent is Brett's defection potentially on the other side getting power? Going back to what you said earlier in the show about how that when he realized that the hacker was on the level 6 side, that made him feel good. Okay, I'm not going to defect. But should Fauté get another HOH, is it possible that the chances are more likely?
Well, I would say so. I would go ahead and say so, but I feel like it would also depend on how well they're able to do what they're about to do tomorrow night with the whole Scotty was the flip, I wasn't, I voted the right side. So it would, there's like a lot of dependence, there are a lot of variants that'll go into it. But it ultimately does seem like no matter what, at the moment, he's kind of slotted himself in the middle with them to the point where they're clearly going to go after Tyler and Angela first because there is showmance in their eyes. So that's what it's looking like. So he's fine either way. As far as will he defect, I could see it potentially.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it also depends on how the HOH week goes. So, like, for example, Fauté had power this week, but did that really do anything or get them anywhere? No. So I think if next week comes and a member of Faute is HOH, but they can't quite pull off what they're trying to achieve, I could see him being like, yeah, I'm not going to that side. But if they are able to get a level six member out the door, I could definitely see him being like, look, I mean, there's no point in me sticking with you guys when there's only two of you left. I might as well go to the other side.
So we have gotten some confirmation that tomorrow night's HOH competition will be an endurance comp. Puya, who in your mind does that, what names are jumping out?
Well, if we want to go by history, typically someone taller is going to have an advantage. Because like you look at the last four, we had Whistlenut, which I didn't think I was going to say that word in 2018, but Whistlenut, Corey, Becky and Beast Mode Cowboy were the ones that did really well there. So if I want to go by that logic,
is this in a particular comp or this is in any endurance comp?
This is the specifically the one that, yeah, the one that Vegas has now broken ground on.
I didn't see, I knew it was an endurance comp. Which comp is this? The slide, sliding?
Slip and slide, yeah.
Slip and slide,
yeah. Crisco one.
Yeah, so that's what we're getting. So I would have to go ahead and say probably Tyler's looking pretty good here. If Fessy's able to stay on 2 feet, maybe he has a shot here. Ultimately, what I'm rooting for, Rob, is that let's continue this one-time HOHers. Let's keep going. We have four out of the remaining nine will have never won an HOH, so I just want to complete that route. Let's just keep going with that.
Yeah, I know that JC is probably out based on, we're talking about like long strides, but if anybody is going to be able to, you know, balance, he has a low center of gravity. Melissa, can you see JC potentially doing well at something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I could see him doing well. He's low to the ground. He could just kind of slide across and, you know, I mean, it's less likely that he's going to keep falling down. And when he falls, it probably won't be as hard. So
the ground is so lubricated. You know what else this is good for? No, JC, don't give out bad info.
No.
Shut it down. You know how we talk about there's some endurance challenges where like they adjust it based on the person's BMI, based on their height, based on their weight. I wonder how that's going to work tomorrow with the slip and slide, because given that usually there's the big pot, which is the HOH, and then there's the big scoop one, or there's a week of safety one, or there's a half knock pass one. I wonder how they're going to adjust that to meet up with JC as well, because I don't know how long the measurements are on those, but just off the top of my head picturing it, I feel like he's going to struggle in that department.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see. Let's do a couple more questions here. Matt wants to know, what type of insult will Zingbot be able to give Sam without her going off the deep end? Listen, I was talking about this with Eric Stein the other day about, she said, hey, if anybody makes fun of me, that's it. They're getting curb stomped. What would be a safe thing for the Zingbot to make fun of that Sam might be able to laugh along with?
Oh, probably nothing. I don't know. I'd be too nervous. If I'm Zingbot, I come in there and I'm like, everyone gets a zing except you.
Yeah,
you're fine. You're great.
Puya, that Zingbot could say something like, Sam, you were much better looking when you were a robot. Well, you know.
That might hurt.
Like the robot had a crush on the Sam robot.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We had this question. Should they bring back Gilbert Godfrey to be the voice of OTEP? I think that was a couple seasons ago.
That was 16.
That was 16.
I don't know when, if Gilbert Godfrey is, what his rate is. Okay.
Speaking of the veto, can I just say one thing? Brent wanted me to bring this up, and I think it's a good point, is that there is the OTEV curse, which is that no one who has won OTEV has won the season. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are discussing this, that, you know, this could mean that bad news for Tyler. I don't know if that's the case, but he could be the first person to break that curse.
Yeah. What do you think, Puya? Is there an OTEV curse?
I feel like, you know, we're all true subscribers to the first person in the house curse.
Yeah.
With OTEV, I'm a little bit more hesitant because this can be reversed. If it does truly happen in that situation, do we give Rockstar the credit that she ruined his game?
Ah, by May, and then Rockstar will come back into the house after the on the buyback, and then she'll come back and win.
Yeah.
Oh, so, interesting. Look at that. Twist.
She's playing fifth dimensional chess, Rockstar.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What a great story it would be for Rockstar to come back in and win a competition to get back into the house. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob is a Podcast. Of course, hey, we've got the challenge, Final Reckoning. Hey, is that Cara Maria there, Puya?
That is. Yes. That is Polly's friend.
Yes. Yes. So check out what Ali and Brian have to say about episode number 6. Oh, News AF talked about, hey, move over, Pizza Rat. Pizza Squirrel is here. Maybe he could be the OTEV next season. Bring Pizza Squirrel, your pizza. Find out what me and Danny and Tyson had to say about Pizza Squirrel and all the different mugshot bays that are out there on News AF. And look, Nick Iadanza is there. Is it already time to talk about week 3 of Australian Survivor? I'm still trying to finish up week 2. Nick Iadanza has the recap of the latest episodes, and then we will see what happens. It's a picture of KC for the Thursday morning update. Will Taryn be updating about KC? A terrible news overnight of her, maybe the tide turning against her. Who knows? Tune in at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific to hear what Taryn has to say. And then Johnny Mack will join us on the recap after the eviction. These eviction shows have not let us down all season, and so we do not expect a letdown on Thursday night, and the rock star dentist will be joining us. And of course, you want to get even more into the Rob is a Podcast, why not find out the benefits of becoming a patron? Go to robisawebsite.com/patron. Your support makes all of these podcasts, these hours and hours of shows that we put out possible. So thanks so much to everybody who's recently come on board and been with us for a long time. robisawebsite.com/patron. And tomorrow night, we will be live after the episode. I will be on the show, but I will not be from the studio, and I believe that we will be on YouTube only tomorrow night. So just a programming note for those of you guys watching on Twitch and Periscope and on Facebook, that look for the show. We will be on YouTube only streaming on Thursday night for that show with Johnny Mac. So just a programming note. Puya, yes. So nice to have you here on the recap with us.
Yeah, man, I had a great time. I feel like we got everything in the kitchen sink, not the HOH sink.
Well, speaking of the sink, yeah. So give us the update on Fessy breaking the sink.
He says he did it. He says he leaned on it, but he sat on it. It fell. There are already memes out there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's having a field day with this. It was an amazing, amazing view.
100% will be in the Thursday episode.
1000% of the episode.
Yes. Okay. So very fun. Of course, follow Puyaism on Twitter and catch Puya. We'll be back on the Friday update this week.
Yeah, Friday mornings with Taryn talking, getting the first crack at the HOH and the implications for the week.
Yeah, and again, I always appreciate the work you do on the live feed updates. Always very fun. There's a lot that goes on Thursday night. So great job, Puya.
Thank you, Rob. I just appreciate the opportunity, and I'm glad to do it.
All right. And, of course, Melissa, great to catch up with you as well. Follow Melissa on Twitter. It's Melissa with 3 A's.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre as well. Behind the scenes, we'll be back with your eviction night recap and Johnny Mac on Thursday. Make sure you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to make sure you're subscribed. And we always appreciate your feedback and your star ratings in the Apple Podcast Store as well. Take care. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.